Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, and joined here today by Robbie.
What's up?
Virtually. We're back.
We're trying to
we're back on Riverside. Riverside, don't fail us. Don't fail us this time. You're going to get, you get three strikes and you're out.
I don't think it was Riverside's fault last time.
I don't think so. And the other thing I did notice last time, to not bash Riverside here, because this is a fan, it's a really cool piece of software. It's not even software. It's a web app.
Software.
You know, but it's software. It's online, which is incredible, because there's you're essentially recording and we're able to chat, and it's storing everything on the back end and then uploading it once we're done. So yeah, you get so high quality recordings.
Quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much better than Zoom or whatever. But yeah, last time I had our video stream, they had just rolled out a new feature for 4K video. And so I had it turned on, at least on my end. And I'm pretty sure it was trying to push yours at least 1080 or 4K as well. And so towards the end of the show, when we were having some bandwidth issues, that could have very well have been part of the issue as well.
Nice.
But we're rocking and rolling today. I've got my nice Shure microphone here at the home office, and got a little Scarlett, what the heck's this thing called? Scarlett 2i interface. And we're rocking and rolling. And we're just, yeah, you know, we're remote podcasters now, or can be when it's convenient.
Yeah.
It's nice.
When it works.
Yeah, when it works. And, you know, with me commuting down, it's like there's days it's just nice to take advantage of our in-person time as much as we can. And not that, like, this isn't useful time. It's just, it's an hour, hour and a half of the day that we could do remotely. So
yep,
that's what we're doing. So hopefully it sounds good, and hopefully we don't have any technical issues this time around.
I think we're going to be good. We're going to be good.
So let's, we're going to dive into some hardware, but I do want to mention that in the second part of the show, we've got something really exciting to talk about. It's kind of rare that we get exclusives, because I think our niche, there's just not a ton of that happening.
No.
There's not a ton of leaks and things the way that there are with Android and smartphones. And so it's kind of rare that we get an exclusive look at something. But we have a very, very cool exclusive that Robbie just published. We've been kind of holding on to it. We actually had the call, the demo, last week, and we've been waiting on some B-roll and stuff. We've got that. So we have a very, very cool exclusive that we're going to talk through in the second half. So make sure to stick around for that. But first up, because last week we took, or in the last episode, we took a little bit of a detour and talked about some of the planning and things that we're doing with Proof Golf and why we're going to be taking a pause on YouTube. And because of that, we didn't talk about the Acer 514 Chromebook Plus review that we did. And so we want to talk through that. And this one is the last of the
last and final.
The last of the reviews of the Chromebook Plus devices that were announced back in October. And it's been a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, we took our time, obviously, with these reviews, because, as you said, October. So we had some of them immediately in October and got the rest of them in short order. So, I mean, October, November, December, January, February, March. So that's 6 months.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad
to do eight reviews. And we knew, like, at that time, it's like, man, here's eight. So even if we give ourselves 2 weeks each, I mean, that's still 4 months, roughly. And that's just not doing anything else. And then you think Christmas, New Year, Thanksgiving happened all in there. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that
happened. Joe moved. Joe had a...
Yeah. Joe had a kid.
Yeah,
Joe,
it's been...
Yeah. So a lot of things happen. So, you know, I think we did kind of right it, as I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, you know, early spring we'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of into spring comfortably and done. But you know, it was funny the minute we finished that review, because there's no other things to review now. There have been a couple Chromebooks released since, so the CX54 expert book from Asus was released in January. It's still not out though, so the one that we have is definitely pre-production. It's not a review unit, so no reviews coming on that one just yet. And then HP just launched a small little fleet of, I'd call them more affordable Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one Chromebook Plus, or were there two?
I think yeah, two.
Yeah, I think there's two. There's a convertible and a non-convertible Plus.
Go back and look at the article.
And so, you know, those devices will show up, I don't know, in the next few weeks or something. At least a few of them will be here. But until then, you know, there's like this, I don't know, feeling of like freedom for me right now. Like I walked in for, we finished the B-roll and I was like, oh, I could just pick the Chromebook I want to use right now. And like, it's been so long since I've done that. So I'm using the CX34 Vibe gaming Chromebook because I was like, you know, and we talked a lot about that. It went on sale last week for a little bit. It sold out pretty quick. But I was like, you know, I went back and looked at the review when it went on sale, and I was like, man, I was really favorable of this Chromebook. And it's like, let's go bust it back out. And I got it back out. And it's, other than the camera, I'm looking at it right now. It looks awful. I look sick and tired in this. It's so bad.
It looks like a bad, like, the example I said was, it looks like you're in jail and it's like, this is your visitation time.
Well, and the Chromebook's sitting this way under me, yeah, so it's like shooting up. So I'm kind of like looking down over my nose at the camera. So it looks like it's my eyes are kind of closed. It's awful. It looks awful. I'm glad we're not doing video.
No, I'm publishing this.
Yeah.
this is the one that we're going to start bringing back, the video portion of the podcast. It's this. This shot
it.
Right here.
This is it. I didn't
Robbie
know.
Has the pillow.
I have a pillow up, so it looks up. Like, yeah, I got a pillow propping my thing up, so it looks like I've got a massive blue gut.
Yeah,
it's
great.
The camera angle's great for this. It's really flattering.
It's really, really, really looking good, man.
It's fantastic. that's the Chromebook I'm using right now. Other than this camera, the rest of this device is really great. It's been fun to use it, and I have plans to pick up a couple other ones along the way over the next few weeks and until some of those review devices get here. This was the last. Oh, it also gave me a chance to start using the Casa and put my Chromebook up on a stand and using a separate keyboard. So it's been fun.
The second time ever that I've seen Robbie with a laptop stand like that. Didn't you have? You had one way back.
Yeah, when I didn't do reviews all the time. Yeah. When I do coding and stuff. There was a time where I actually had two monitors.
Mm-hmm.
I had one flipped on its side so that I could put my like IDE over there, and so all the code stuff was in a vertical alignment, which is really nice. So this is the 514, and I don't know. I said it in the review. Like, I feel like we're beating a dead horse here. It's Chromebook Plus, so it's good. You know, this is one that I think is not my favorite of the bunch, for sure. But it doesn't mean it's not good. Like, they're all of them are good. There's just some that are a little bit better than the others. Overall, it's a pretty good experience. You know, backlit keyboard, Asus or AMD Ryzen 3 7320 C processor. So the same thing that's in the Asus CM34 16x10 screen. Which, I mean, Chromebooks right now are in love with that 14-inch, 16x10, full HD. Like, that is the go-to screen for 2023.
I'm in on it. Yeah, I like the 16x10.
The Chromebook I'm looking at right now is 16x10, 14-inch. except this is the Asus CX34, so the one I'm looking at now is 144Hz, which is really sweet. And it's nice and bright. That was one of my knocks on the Acer 514. The display had like anti-glare to it, but it was still only 250, and it was one of those 250 nit screens that feel it, like, just felt 250 every time I picked it up. And so, you know, I didn't love that, but again, it's not like, oh my god, like, you can't work on this thing. It's just, you gotta know that going in.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The keyboard I thought was a tad mushy. Not terrible, but a tad mushy, but it was backlit. Really nice trackpad. Acer's gotten great with that ocean glass stuff, making just really big, smooth, tactile trackpads. Great trackpad. Surprisingly good speakers. They're upward firing. The internals on this one, it's $449. I think I said $399 in the video. I'm pretty sure it was $399 once upon a time, but it's moved to $449.
Yeah,
I don't know that it used to have 256 gigs of storage before, but the one that they're shipping right now is. And it's only at Costco, which is kind of a bummer.
I feel like when it first came out, it was 399, but I could be having a brain fart. No, I think you're right. I have to go back and look, but yeah.
Either way, it was on sale last week. It was dropped all the way down to $299, and it's like, yeah, of course, no brainer. You get any Chromebook Plus for $300, like go get it. If it meets what you're looking for, if you're like, man, I have to have a convertible, of course, don't get a clamshell, which this one is. But you know, if it fits the bill for the things you're looking for, like it was good. Acer puts pretty decent webcams in their devices. This one wasn't like standout, but it was fine. 1080p, you know, 8 gigs of RAM, so it gets around fine. I didn't have any problem with it from a work standpoint. The chassis isn't like super rigid, but it wasn't a problem. It wasn't nearly as flexible as some of the others. You know, it had good port selection, you know, yeah. HDMI and a couple USB Type-Cs, USB-A, all that stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I'm hoping the next wave of Chromebook Plus gives us a little bit more variation in some of the, like, perks you get. But I know that drives the price up, too. So, like, these new HPs that are coming out, you know, I'll say this when they come in, too. Like, this is a rebranding for HP, and it's probably a good one. Their Chromebook A series and B series have never been my favorites. They use a lot of cheap plastic. They don't feel very good to use, most of them. But they've also always had really crummy processors in them too. So those small core Intels. Until last year, it got to the point where it's like, oh, you know, the 4500's not terrible. Well, this year, these new ones that are coming out are all Alder Lake N. So they're all N100, N200, and N305. And so that makes a difference. So, you know, like I think the most expensive of the four is $400 or something. So, I mean, they're going pretty ultra inexpensive. There's a few that have 300 nit screen options. So, like, how they'll show up at Best Buy and all that kind of stuff will make a big difference on how good those are. But, you know, I think Chromebook Plus moving forward has to maintain some of that. Like, what HP's doing is some of these companies are going to have to do that stuff, but HP also has 14C, so it's like, cool, do that with the B and the A, because that's what they are, these new Chromebooks that are coming out, it's the 14A and the 14B. Do that with those, with the next 14C X360, you know, go back to what you were doing before, like mostly all aluminum chassis that felt awesome, with a fantastic keyboard and speakers and trackpad. They got most of that stuff right. What they've never seemed to decide to get right with HP in this thing is the screen.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they had always shipped this 16:9 screen in the X360 14C, but it would always be dim, and it would always be 16:9 with a big bezel at the bottom. Well, when they showed up with this one this year and it had a 16:10 screen and a very small bezel at the bottom, I was like, oh my God, finally. We're
going to
get 14C with a good screen. You know, 300 nits is all I'm asking for here. Showed up 250 nits, and then it has the most flimsy bottom chassis of all the 14Cs I think that have ever been made. And if they'll clean those two things up, you can't tell me they can't fix both of those things and still stay in that $699 price range. Now you've got the 14B and the 14A or whatever they're calling them now. Just I think it's Chromebook Plus 14 or something. You've got the other two devices that can kind of hang out in that $400 and $300 range. Go ahead and go for it a little bit with this 14, the next 14C when it comes out. Like it needs to have a little bit of extra to it. It doesn't have to be a dragonfly, but the 14C right now, like it's painful to me. It was so close to being out and out the best Chromebook Plus. Like HP should have knocked that out last year. They should have been, hey, there's everybody else, you know, the Asus CM34, the Flex 5i, they're kind of in this, you know, mid-range and they're doing their thing. But at the top of the heap is the HP X360. Like, you've got the pedigree to do it. You got the stuff. You know how to do it. You built the Dragonfly. You built the Elite. Like, you've done this. You know it. You have the ability to do this. You now go and do it. Don't do 75% of it and let that 25% be, you know, ignorance on stuff that you can do right. Like, you've shown that you can do this stuff right. You know it. And they wouldn't have done that stuff in the Dragonfly. They wouldn't have put a 1200 nit screen in there if they didn't think, hey, that's a thing that grabs people's attention. And they wouldn't have spent all the time, you know, making a chassis that has no deflection if they didn't think, you know, people notice that and care about it. And those two things that are kind of big headliners for the Dragonfly are things that I feel like got completely ignored on the last X360. And I'm like, you guys can clean that up quick. You don't really need to change too much else. You know, there are plenty, by the way, plenty 14-inch, 16x10, full HD screens out there that hit 350 and 400 nits. They're out there. They're on Acer's devices. Like, they're on Chromebooks. Just get one of those panels and put it in your device. Like, they're the exact same thing.
And you don't have to go crazy. Like, you don't have to have the 1,000 nit in the Dragonfly just 350, 400.
Yeah, 400 nits is more than enough for 95% of people. You know, like, the one I'm looking at now, I think it's 450 nits, and I'm constantly turning it down. You know, it's just, it's too much screen most of the time. And it's nice to have that overhead, but let the user decide that. Don't be like, well, we're only giving you 250 nits, so you get good battery life. And anyway. So yeah, that's the 514. Unremarkable, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me excited for, I can't wait to see the first 714 Chromebook Plus, like branded Chromebook Plus. It probably won't be that different, you know, the last, what, three 714s? Because, yeah, there's an 11th, 12th, and 13th gen of that. They don't really need to change much. Like, iterate a little bit. That thing's awesome. Like, it's a great Chromebook, so don't change too much, you know. Let's just brand it Chromebook Plus and maybe, I don't know. I don't know what else. I don't even know what else to ask for from that device, to be completely honest. I mean, I think we need a few more Chromebooks that are standout and excellent in the Chromebook Plus, branded Chromebook Plus category, that just nail everything.
Yep. Like,
and then I think that makes the conversation so much more interesting around Chromebook Plus when it's not like, hey, this one's got some trade-offs, but hey, the price is low. Like, that's the story right now with Chromebook Plus in general. And that's a fine part of the story. I think now it needs to build with, you know, the next event needs to introduce a few higher-end options that actually meet it. So the X360 was a higher-end option. And I think, wasn't there one other one that was in that price range? HP, Acer. Asus. What was Asus's second one? Oh, yeah, the CX34. It's a $400 device, too. HP, Acer, Asus, and then Lenovo. Yeah, they're all... I think the highest end from Lenovo would be the 3i. The Slim 3i, it's $550. And it, to me, it commands every bit of that price. I still pick that thing up, and I love it. It's great. They could do a couple little tweaks to it and make it a 650 device, give it a 16x10 screen, maybe slim up the chassis a little bit, you know, fit the name. But, you know, keep it rigid, keep all the parts in it considered well done, and that could be a, you know, put a Core i or whatever, Core Ultra, I guess, in it, rather than the N305. There's a couple little things they could tweak with the Slim and probably command a 600 to 650 price tag, and it'd be a little bit on that upper slope. And again, I think HP's fine to make, especially now they've released those mid-range Chromebooks. You're fine to go ahead and like put the pedal down and make the X360 your top-end consumer device. Like the Dragonflies and the Elites of the world they're always going to be these niche products, at least for the next few years. It's going to be a while before people regularly pick up a $1,000 Chromebook. It's just, that's always going to be a niche thing. But a $600, $700 Chromebook is far more approachable. You wait for it to go on sale for $100 off, you know, that kind of thing. And I think they can put all the pieces in there together to make the next X360 like excellent. And if they don't, I mean, I'm going to be just gutted because it's like, man, like, why are y'all doing this? Do you not listen? You listen to the next part of our show, and
like,
other people are listening.
Like, the you know, we've talked about this a ton, but let the Dragonfly be the lighthouse device. Let it be the one that's like, wow, there's this thing that does all this stuff and has this crazy screen and crazy build quality. That's awesome.
RGB keyboard.
It's got
wild
it's
speakers.
It's like crazy.
Insanity.
I've been hogging it, and now that you're in non-review mode, I'll bring it back and let you drive it for a day or two. But you have to give it back. You can only have it for a day or two.
I don't want it.
Dude, it's so good. I was sitting worked from it a little bit this morning. It's just it's amazing. It's my favorite Chromebook ever. It's incredible. But you know, let that be the lighthouse. And yeah, I get that it still, you know, meets all the Chromebook Plus stuff, but it's not what they were trying to do with this Chromebook Plus. But it's almost like everyone, because of this standard and because of trying to hit this kind of middle price point, something like the 515 does become a little bit bland. You know, and it's like, it's good that we've got all these awesome devices that are all just solid. Like, they're all solid devices. You've said it in every darn Chromebook Plus review. If you pick this thing up, you're probably going to like it. Like, they've ironed out most of the big kinks, and that's great that we're now in this spot where you can review these devices and we don't have to sit here and talk about some of the stupid stuff that we used to have to talk about. Like, in general, Chromebook Plus has created this standard to where you're going to get a decent, solid user experience with any of these devices that you go pick up. It's just a matter of finding which one that fits your needs and the price, like with you know, the fluctuations in prices. But it's almost like, all right, that's step one. They had to do that to get everything going. They had to do that to get this kind of initiative out there. But now let's build on it a little bit. I am very curious to see this next iteration and in what companies do to kind of push the envelope a little bit. And you brought up the 714. Like, you know, I can't wait to see a new 714. And like, that's the weird thing now is, some of these higher end devices that are gonna, if there were to be a new Dragonfly Pro, would if they put a new one out, it would have Chromebook Plus on the lid, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
And so it's like, now you've got this device that's still probably going to be $1,000 that doesn't fit that price model anymore. So I don't know. That's going to be something they're going to have to figure out, and maybe they'll do Chromebook Pro like we've said.
Maybe.
You copied Chromebook. Samsung on the Chromebook Plus, so let's just go Chromebook Pro.
Chromebook Extra Plus.
Ultra.
It's Chromebook Plus Plus.
So, I think 514 review was not really anything to write home about, I'd say. I was editing it down, it's like, here it is, it's solid.
Being able to be like, okay, we're done now.
Yeah, right.
They're all out there.
They're all out there, and if you heard about these new Chromebook Plus models that got released, you know that Chromebox has a review of them. And it's been, we've kind of taken our time a little bit, but it's also been a little bit of a grind the last few months for sure. Like once we got through the holidays and once, you know, the baby showed up for me, like we've been grinding to get these out. And so I hope that everyone, you know, has enjoyed some of that content. I know not everyone is just interested in Chromebook Plus, so we're excited to take a little pause to get this Proof Golf stuff going, and then we'll kind of come back with, we've got a few really fun ideas that are going to be definitely different. So that'll be fun to kind of mix things up on YouTube. Stay tuned for all that. So I think let's dive right into the exclusive that we got.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's anything else on the 514. So like I said in the intro, we don't get exclusives like this very often. And so when Robbie wrote a bit of a tough piece talking about how he was upset that, rightfully so, that some of the AI Chromebook Plus features weren't available, we got a call, and the kind folks over at Google said, hey, we'd love to give you an exclusive look and demo of these in action so that you can just see that they're coming and that we're working on them.
Yeah. And you know, I was a tad harsh in that. I went back and read it today as I wrote the post, because you know, my main frustration was the fact that we had been shown in October, help me write on Chromebook Plus. And then we found out later it was coming to Chrome too. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's okay. And then it rolls out for Chrome. And then even on the Chrome versions, Chrome OS versions that have a detached Chrome browser, it wasn't working.
Not
like
there.
Across the board, not working on Chromebooks, but working on Windows, working on Mac, and I'm assuming on Linux as well. And that was frustrating, because that just felt like, okay, guys, look, I know the Chrome and the Chrome OS team aren't one and the same. And I get that Chrome as a browser is way bigger than just Chromebooks. It was just frustrating to see this one specific, especially, feature that was touted as like, wow, Chromebook Plus is going to make it possible to do this thing. And then here's this thing on just any other random Windows or Mac device.
Like, yeah.
That really just felt crappy as a Chromebook user. And so that was the energy that I wrote that post in. Like, I was pretty frustrated. And then I had been writing some posts about, you know, feature updates and, you know, Chrome OS shipping, and then being like, here's new features, and none of those features are there, you know? And it's like, even if they're just behind a flag, I don't love that either, you know?
Like, no.
And I'm speaking, you know, writing that piece, I'm speaking for people that have emailed me and people in our Discord that, you know, see this stuff
they
and get frustrated by the stuff.
Where is like, this?
Where
can,
is that
can
thing,
I turn it
know?
On? Nope.
And so it's kind of the point where I'm just, you know, when we do a new Chrome OS update post, it's like, if it's not there and without them going through hoops, I'm not going to call it a new feature. You know, we'll put it in a different section of the post or something. And that's, you know, that's kind of frustrating, especially when there's a 4-week update cycle. It's like, well, if it didn't make it to this one, that's cool. Just put it in the next one. Just don't even say it. Just wait till it shows up. Wait till it's ready to ship with the update you're calling it, you know, you're attaching it to. Anywho. So yeah, those were the posts that were of frustration. And apparently quite a few of the engineers saw this stuff, and much to their credit, I feel like if I was an engineer, I'd get mad. It's somebody writing that stuff. Like, you're not building this stuff. Shut up. You know, like, you don't have any reason to be
sit over there behind your keyboard. And
yeah, just write your opinion, buddy.
Yeah.
Instead, I got the general feel that they were really eager to show us what they've been working on,
right,
and explain a little bit, you know, as much as they could, as to why it's taken longer than probably they wanted it to, but also why it's different than what you're seeing on the Chrome browser right now.
That was the big piece for me. Yeah.
And there was part of me that thought, you know, hopefully that's the case, but I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, Help Me Write might be the exact same model, just this one's on Chromebooks and there's some other step or something, but it doesn't turn out to be the case. You know, for the Help Me Write, which, you know, we're lumping all this together. I'm actually going to do another post I alluded to in the post that we did today, highlighting the background, the video call backgrounds and the wallpapers, because there's some cool stuff in there too. Like specific things that they were really thinking about, and like, I like that kind of stuff. I like really considered features.
Yeah,
like instead of just throwing it out.
The video call background, whenever they were talking about, because again, like, we got to set and see this stuff. Like, we were in a video call, and they clicked through these features working on a device that, you know, that.
Well, and if you go check the post out too, there are videos of them doing the exact same thing they did for us.
Right,
you can see it. You can see it in action.
But you know, obviously, us sitting and being able to ask them questions during was incredible. But the video background AI features they were talking about, eye level, right? And so they're creating, when you do a video call, you typically kind of want your eye level, you know, above the center line, maybe three quarters on the top there, and they create backgrounds that work with that, right? So rather than like a wallpaper background that might have like a road going right through the middle. Well, that's not going to work on a video background because you're going to be blocking it, right? So like they added in all of these little thoughtful pieces that make it very specific to what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think they said it helps kind of frame you out a little bit, but I think also it's not doing stuff in the background at that level where you'd be looking at someone's eyes. It's going to detract that you're going to look over and see that. So maybe you put some of those more intricate stuff away from that eye line. I don't know. And then too, on like the wallpapers, the AI wallpapers, you know, it's a lot of consideration is given to the resolution of your screen and making sure that, so the backgrounds for the video calls don't have to be as high def, but the wallpapers, you know, like that could be on a 4K screen. Like it's got to know and be smart enough to create a wallpaper that's going to fit. Are you 16 by 10 or 16 by 9 or 3x2 screen? Like we're going to make sure and fill this screen with the best quality thing. So when the AI is making that, it makes them with all of those concessions in place, which is kind of cool.
And it kind of goes back to what you were saying there at the beginning of the Chrome browser being much more of the help me write on the Chrome browser specifically being much more of a general purpose model, you know, and they are doing things there that, yes, it is still helpful and still cool technology, but on the Chromebook side, it's much more specific and catered to what people actually do on Chromebooks. And they have all the data, right, of how exactly people are using Chromebooks, and they're building out this much larger model for the Chromebook stuff, for all the AI model stuff on the Chromebooks, that it's just different. And I thought that was like, you know, it was nice to hear them say that. And I can't remember exactly what model they said it was going to be or what it might be. I don't know
it's
that we can even say that.
Gemini. Think we can say that at least. Like it's using Gemini and it's going to use a lot of the cloud based stuff, you know, versus on device for now. And they said as they see it, you know, they'll figure it out along the way whether, you know, if they can bring certain parts down to on device. But it's, you know, on device AI requires a lot of your device. And if it could be offloaded to the cloud, most of it, like there's no sense in doing stuff on device. It's a bit of a buzzword. And you know, like the idea with this help me write thing, you know, being this system wide thing on Chromebooks, obviously you got to think about all the concessions that come with that. And so they also pointed out like they could have launched the help me write Chrome version on the Chromebooks. Sure. No big deal. But the potential that gets confused with this bigger thing that they're doing for Chromebooks was like, should we just wait and roll it out when it's all ready? And I think that was probably the right decision because had it come out and they didn't spin it right or didn't figure out a way to say it, then everyone would think like, oh, this is it. Like you made a big deal about this, but it's the same thing that's on Windows and Mac. And it's like this thing is going to be quite a bit different. And I don't think we're allowed to talk about any of the further capabilities that are being worked on with it, but just know that this is the beginning of what this will become. And I wrote in the post today, like based on what we saw, I'm kind of like rejuvenated towards thinking like this could end up being one of the most useful and helpful versions of AI on a device. Like there's all this stuff about AI PCs and AI here and AI there and whatever. And like this could end up being a really productive, useful version of AI on a laptop, something that you're going to use on a very regular basis to just knock out little things here and there. And, you know, they did clarify too, like, because I was curious, you know, well, what about, you know, the Duplex and Gemini and stuff that is in Gmail or
Workspace
Docs or whatever,
Docs
like,
and,
yeah,
Sheets.
Like, how's that all going to work? And basically, those models are trained for those tasks. You know, those models are great at, you know, creating a resume for you or whatever, you know, like
they mentioned like an outline of a book or something.
Yeah,
or
like that's
or
not what this is for.
And Docs being able to have it create a table for you. Like that's something very specific to what you're going to be doing in Google Docs.
And so, yeah, I mean, so this model obviously is not trained for those types of things. You know, the examples they gave are, you know, writing a review in Amazon with a handful of words or writing a social media post or, you know, filling in those spots, you know, where you just, it'd be nice to have someone help you write stuff. And all of this is making me want to try out, like, I don't really lean on anything in Gmail, like the whole, like, help me write my email kind of stuff. It's part of me that's wanting to start considering a little bit of that.
Have you seen all the marketing now around Grammarly for Business? Yeah. They've been pushing
AI
those ads
for that stuff so that people don't get sucked into their computers.
Yeah. I thought it's pretty good. Like,
that's a good little hacky.
I've used Grammarly. I know you don't really use it. If you read Robbie's articles and you notice commas misplaced, it's because he doesn't use Grammarly. That's right.
Yep.
You hardly ever have any. I take
liberties with grammar because, let's face it, language is ever evolving.
Exactly.
So the idea, the whole grammar police need to go find a new hobby.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're mad at me for that, well, I'm sorry, but
right. Can you read?
Our English language is changing.
Yeah. Yeah,
If I can, if I'm communicating to you clearly, then that's
where I put
all
the
that matters.
Comma or whatever doesn't really matter. Now,
right.
So yeah. Anywho, I've used Grammarly a little bit, and I've thought about after talking with the Google folks, I've thought about trying some stuff in Docs and just seeing what the Help Me Write can do. And
yeah.
Yeah, so and the one thing that they mentioned that I thought was really cool too is that because you're using this on device and you're using it on Chromebook and it's very specific to what users actually do on their Chromebook, it's this whole idea of like in the flow that you're in, right? Like you're staying in the flow that you're in, whether you're writing this thing over here, writing this thing over here, like you've now got these tools built into your Chromebook that are there to help you. And rather, yeah. You don't have to click over to some other app, or you don't have to click over to this thing,
right,
or go to this website. Like it's all right there for
stuff,
you.
Like right. Yeah. Writing.
And like, I they had talked about that and I knew that's obviously the goal here, but just thinking through that, I'm like, man, that's going to be really cool. And like you said, I think this is going to be the best like on device AI that you're going to be able to get. And it's so cool that it's going to be on Chromebooks.
Yeah. And granted, so, like, again, to be fair, we thought this would probably be here before Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the way it felt, the way the marketing felt. And so I was really excited. I was hopeful that Google would have this out in some way, shape, or form, because I knew a lot of this AI computing stuff. I knew by the time CES came around, like, you're just going to hear it over and over again. It's like, you got a chance to get out in front, you know?
Be the first.
And to do it really well. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that easily. And, mm-hmm. you know, for a company that tends to beta test on their users with great regularity, you know, I appreciate some restraint, even if it takes a little bit more time. I think going forward, like, they would be better served to just clearly communicate a little better.
Maybe
we can help some of that to kind of take those messages and tell people about it. But it would save, you know, some communication would have saved, a little bit of negative publication from us.
Yeah.
Because I would have known, like, I'm not going to hate on this because I know what's going on.
And look, like, we get it. Like, timelines are tough. Like, you can't anticipate the hurdles that are going to pop up when you're working on something like this. And, I mean, we're dealing with it right now, trying to get a very small project out the door. And I can't imagine dealing with an AI model that's running on device and thinking about security, you know,
that
opens up the door to. And maybe they were a little farther along, and then maybe some of the AI pushback stuff that they ran into made them kind of pump the brakes a little bit and maybe try to get away from that a little bit. They did not tell us that by any means.
No, I don't think that's
what they said.
And there could have been some stuff too. I thought, like, again, the Chrome OS and Chrome teams aren't the same. Maybe when the Help Me Write stuff came up with Chrome, they were like, oh, well, that's what we were kind of doing over here.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, I guess we're going to end up trying to launch our thing about the same time. That could be a little
confusing.
That
doesn't make sense. People are going to be confused. Yeah.
We could use a little bit more time anyway on this. So you do your thing and then we'll, I don't know. There's, you know, we refer to it all the time. Like, these are just groups of people, you know, making stuff. You know, it's easy to think of Google as this big mega corporation, which they are, you know, but to think of it all as one big thing, you know, like a monolithic thing that acts and does things. And it's like, it just, that's not what it is.
And it's not as coordinated singularly as you would think. You know, like the Chrome team is doing their thing. They're working on their own deadlines. I almost would bet that the Chrome OS team maybe didn't even know exactly when the Help Me Write on Chrome was rolling out. Like, I bet you it rolled out and they were like, oh, okay, well, darn, that messes up our timeline. Yeah. I don't know. I would put
maybe
some
not.
Money
maybe
on
they,
that.
Maybe they talk more, but it seems to be a lot of that goes on.
They
inside,
say they work closely together, and I think that's maybe a little bit of a, you know, company, you know, thing. Oh, yeah, we work very closely with the Chrome team, and I'm sure they do. You know, obviously, Chrome on Chromebooks is a very, very integral part. But I think sometimes like deadlines and announcements, like we've heard that before about, you know, from the PR side, some announcements going out that kind of messed this thing up and we didn't know about it. Like, I think some of that gets really tough, and it is, it's these groups of people working, and they're not all managed by the same even like PR group of people. Right. So then you've got these different announcements and different marketing, and I get it. I get that the timeline's, you know, probably really difficult, but I think just a little bit more communication would have been awesome, especially when, I'm right there with you. I had the feeling rolling out of that event that we were gonna see some AI stuff toward the end of the year. That's what it felt like. I mean, you're sitting here showing it on screen, you know?
Right.
So that just kind of stinks that, you know, we're in April and we still don't have it, but at least we've seen it. And we know it's getting worked on.
We can say that much. Like it's coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon. Mm-hmm. And what it's going to be able to do is going to be really, really cool. And I do think it's going to be something that's going to encourage people to go pick up a Chromebook. If they've been maybe on the fence and they're like, oh, you know, I think a Chromebook would work for me, but I'm not really sure. But then they see that, oh, wow, this thing has AI and all this helpful stuff like built right into the device, and I can use it on any text window to help me write and do all this cool background stuff. And I just think it could be a killer feature, and that's also what sucks about it not being on time or not rolling out sooner than I wanted, because I'm with you. I think they could have been out soon and been this kind of, it could have been made a big splash. And 100%. And that just didn't happen. And the AI stuff is obviously still, there's still crazy things happening. And I think when this thing rolls out and they make a big announcement about it and tell everyone about it, I think it's still going to make a big splash. But it just, for us, as you know, we've always said this, like we don't fancy ourselves journalists. You know, we're not hardcore reporters. We love this stuff and we love this ecosystem, and we want these features as much as the consumers that are out there geeking out about it want this stuff. Right. Like, so that's it's a little different. I think it's I wish we could say exactly when, but it's soon, and I just can't wait. I can't wait for it to roll out.
Same here.
Yeah. So cool. I think it's those kind of two main things for today, unless you got something else. You got a hot take?
No hot takes.
I've been using the Fold. It's been fun.
Yeah, Joe's a Foldy boy.
The Pixel Fold, that is. I'm not in the Samsung cool kid club like Robbie. It's cult. You have to have the
it's
watch.
It's not a cult.
You got to have the watch, and you got to get the buds, and I don't have those, so I went to get it, and they were like, no, you can't.
I like the buds. They were like super cheap, and I think when I got the phone, or I don't know, got them for free almost or something. They sound great and they work great, but I've just come to the point where I'm like, I really like the little sticks on the side of my earbuds, not for anything other than a handle to grab them.
I dropped the Pixel Buds. I've dropped the Pixel Buds Pro on an airplane several times now.
It's clumsy, you know?
They go flying. I'm like, oh,
I'm super,
crap.
I am interested in the Nothing. They have their third version of their.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be they're just calling it the Nothing Ear. So they did the Nothing Ear, (1) and (2). This is just, they said this one's the culmination. They're kind of rebranding. Like, I think they're just going to call them what they are, and you just get the newer version, I guess, down the road. So they're doing a regular and an A version, similar to Google. So I'm curious to see how those are. I've looked at those earbuds a bunch because I've heard really good stuff about them. I don't know. Earbuds to me, I kind of enjoy an agnostic approach. Nothing against like Pixel Buds or, you know, the Samsung's things. Like, I just don't find a great deal of utility in the whole, like, oh, this is part of the ecosystem.
Once
like,
they're paired up, they're paired up.
Like, right. Yeah. Give me an app with the settings and let me move on. Like, and that's the thing. Like, nobody other than Apple wants to not give you an app on basically every phone to control the earbuds. And so it's like, you know, but even with my AirPods, the AirPods Pro, like, I hooked them up to an iPod or an iPad and made sure they were updated. And then, you know, they'll noise canceling on, off. I put them in my ear, put them in the case. That's all I need from them. I don't need you to do any other tricks.
They work. Like, they produce sound.
Yeah. And there's a stick that I can grab and situate it in my ear and then pull it out of my ear without having to like dig and futz around with it. And so I'm like, well, if that's all I'm really after, because the AirPods are really comfortable. Once you kind of get them seated, I think the Nothing Buds would be my next. Like, I just have so many earbuds. There's just no point in doing that.
I'm assuming they'll do. Are they gonna? I don't know how much details they've put out about the Nothing stuff. Are they gonna do fast pair on those?
I think the last set had fast pair.
I thought they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell, with my, like, I like the Wise Buds Pro that I got. Like, I have nothing really against them. I think they're pretty good too. I never could find the right, like, they only had three sizes on the tips and sides, so it was either a bit too small in one of my ears, or it was too big, and after about 30 minutes, it started getting that ache, and it's like, ugh, it's so frustrating how tiny, minuscule things.
Especially for when you're wearing them for long periods, if you're wearing it for 30 minutes or an hour, you'll start noticing it pretty quickly.
I guess this is an ear pod, like the wired earbud from Apple. And then they, you know, those were the same shape for the original AirPods. I can literally wear this in my ear for hours.
Those wear me out.
A lot of people hurt.
They make my ears ache so bad. It's so funny. Yeah.
Now, the old AirPods or earbuds, the round ones, those destroyed my ears.
I don't think anybody liked those.
God, they hurt so bad.
Those were awful.
These are so super comfortable. But again, it's like, there's no like, oh, well, if you watch a review and somebody's like, these are super comfortable, I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
Totally.
It just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
AirPods win for me. The Pros win for me for comfort, for longevity. And I feel like the Nothing ear have a very AirPod-esque look.
Those could be interesting. But are they still the, like, do they still have that kind of design language? The see-through stuff.
Which is dope looking.
Yeah, I think that stuff's cool.
I like their phones, too.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get one of their phones in the office just to try it out. But
yeah, I'd like to have the latest one.
I don't necessarily want to go buy it. So, hey, anybody listening from Nothing, if you want to send us one of those, we'll check it out.
We'll talk about it.
We'll check it out. All right, folks, I think that's it for today. As we've mentioned in the last episode, and I'm going to keep mentioning, we are rolling out an awesome new project called Proof Golf, part of Proof Golf, let's say. Proof Golf's been out there. This is kind of a new version of Proof Golf that we're doing, and because of that, we're going to be taking a little pause over on YouTube. We're going to be putting out a video explaining some of that over on YouTube, but don't think that anything else is going anywhere. We're still going to keep posting the podcast. We're still going to keep posting on the website. So you can get all of your normal programming from Chrome Unbox. But we're just taking a little pause over on YouTube to focus on this launch. But because of that, we'll be back. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Chromecast. So we appreciate y'all tuning in this week, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.